Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it is Azure Friday.
Hello.
And I'm here with Seth Juarez. How are you, sir?
Great. How are you doing, bud?
Pretty good, pretty good. You're going to explain to me what Azure Machine Learning is.
That's right.
I hear machine learning, and I hear Ultron.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not artificial intelligence learning machines. Please explain.
You know what? A lot of the people that are afraid of machine learning are like really smart scientists, but that's like saying, hey, a geologist, Fred, is really concerned about the Hadron Collider opening up a black hole. So if you notice, the people that are worried about machine learning killing us are not necessarily machine learning practitioners or computer science people.
Hadron Collider.
I watch
Big Bang Theory. You can't fool me. So I don't know anything about machine learning.
So let me tell you what machine learning is. There's two parts of machine learning. There's the part where you want to predict something. And then there's the part where you just want to organize stuff. Mm-hmm. So, for example, when you go to Amazon and you say, oh, I like this book, because, I mean, I know you're really into, like, Lululemon or some, is that what you like?
Sure.
Like Hello Kitty. I mean, I know that's your backpack that you wear. It's really, and so when you added that Hello Kitty backpack into your, it suggested a myriad of other products.
You might also like a Hello Kitty jacket.
Yeah, and so that is machine learning. There's not like an Amazon guy that's like going around saying, oh, he really likes Hello Kitty, I should put this. It's a computer saying, these are how things should be grouped. And it measures like how these things are grouped. So for example, here's a dumb example. If me and you are like each other,
right,
and you like this thing, and the computer knows that we are like each other, then I'm going to like it too, probably.
Transitive property of Hello Kitty.
And so it's grouped us, and it saw what you like, and then so that's a way of doing collaborative-based filtering, where we're like rating things.
But you know how once, like 3 years ago, you watched something you shouldn't have watched on Netflix, and now it's just decided what kind of person you are?
Yeah, and that's my Netflix queue right now with all of, like, I can show you what
I don't need to see your Netflix
queue. No, you need to see it because
we only have a few minutes, so we should really focus on what we're doing.
Oh, I don't even have it. Here it is. It's this. This is my Netflix queue.
It's all Dora, Annie.
I don't have any kids or I'm not married.
Feel good girl power animation.
Pretty much. It's what
I didn't even know that was a category.
It is. And so what's happened is my kids watch this, my daughters watch this, and so it's grouped stuff together. So the computer automatically groups people or things, and then it knows how to sort of pick.
And your kids watch Scrubs, apparently.
Apparently that sort of worked. I don't know how that's
done. So is it primarily grouping? Like when we say machine learning, is grouping a huge part of that?
Half. The other half is predicting something. So for example, say you have a series of logs, and you know this particular entry in a log, someone was trying to get into my system.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a whole bunch of them. What you do is you feed the computer your logs, and you say, okay, find a pattern that suggests someone is trying to break into my system.
Mm-hmm.
And so notice that there's a very specific answer to that. It's either yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
It's either maybe, for sure, not sure. I mean, you see what I'm saying? And so that's prediction, and that's part of supervised learning. So machine learning is supervised learning or unsupervised learning.
Well, and then there's pattern recognition that humans can do. Like if I'm scrolling through a log, mm-hmm. let's say there's a log that's many megabytes big, mm-hmm. and I hold down page down,
mm-hmm.
I can probably find weirdly anomalous stuff.
Correct.
If it's visually anomalous.
That's right.
But I, as a human, can't find the same person shows up on Tuesday at 10
right.
and pokes at the system.
Yeah, and here's even better. So the example that I have is just a super simple example. Like, here's the tennis data set, right? And you're supposed to predict whether you should play or not.
Or whether you should play tennis or not.
Yeah, and based upon this thing, we can sort of come up with something because there's only like 10 or so rows and 3 columns. Now, imagine if you have 15,000 columns and millions of rows. There's no way to scroll through that and understand it.
Well, that brings up an interesting question. So here, as a procedural programmer,
mm-hmm.
myself, people who are watching, can look at this and go, okay, I'm going to make a giant if statement.
That's right.
And at some point about this complicated, mm-hmm. it becomes unruly.
That's right.
And then it becomes arrow code.
That's right.
You know, if.
Or have you ever written code where you change 0.5 to 0.7 and you're like, this seems like it's going to work, and it kind of works, and you feel like you need to take a shower afterwards?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's written code like that because we're used to saying, I have a problem and here's the series of steps that I'm going to use to solve
it. Very procedural.
Machine learning is you give it examples of the right thing and it figures out the algorithm.
Mm.
That's machine learning.
Okay, cool.
And so that's for that. So, but here's the thing. Machine learning is always 4 steps. And when you're looking at Azure Machine Learning, if you think of these 4 steps, then you'll be able to sort of navigate Azure Machine Learning. Because when you look at it at first, it might be a little intimidating.
Okay.
You always start with data.
You start with data.
Always start with data.
That is good or bad? Like, has to be in the state you want it to be?
It's just whatever data you have. Step one. So let's just say you have a bunch of log files that you want to do prediction on whether or not someone's hacking you. You have tons of data. So that's step one. Step two is you need to clean your data, right? And that's the part that we computer scientists like to call the yak shaving part of data science, right? This is because, you know, like, you want this.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You have this
turtle cloud.
Because Jim's always putting crap into the system, right?
Okay, so those are completely invalid.
Yeah, and so someone has to go
and
clean.
That's not a Boolean.
That's right. And so what you have to do is you have to sort of fix your data. And they won't tell you this, but that's probably the majority of the time you're spending as a data scientist is doing this crap work.
Okay.
Or yak shaving. So once you've done that, then you have to sort of do conversions. You have to put it into a way machine learning can understand, and then you make models. So, for example, this is an example of an if statement, nested if statement.
It's certainly a more compact way of doing an if statement.
Yeah. If the outlook is sunny and the temperature is low, then we should play. And you'll be able to see that it comes out when you're looking at it from that. So the computer's job is to come up with this model.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've built the model, then you can do prediction, right? You can say, when I have this, then I should play because that's what the model says.
Got it.
And the machine learning process is being able, at least the supervised side, is be able to say, I have all of these features or things that I'm going to use to do prediction, and this is what I want to predict. That's it.
Cool.
And what happens is the reason why they start to look smart is because once you start composing these things on top of each other, like, for example, Watson, then it starts to look like it's doing, like, tremendously amazing things, when in reality it's built upon things that are saying yes or no to a lot of things.
Got it.
Does that make sense? And so in Azure, it's a pretty cool way of doing it. So the way Azure does it is they have these things called experiments where you need to suck in data, do some transformation. Here, I'll draw on the screen.
You have to kind of zoom in on that. Is that the process that the data goes through?
Yes.
Or is this the flowchart?
This is like, imagine having your data come in from the top and then go through that process.
Okay, maybe you could actually do me a favor and zoom out,
mm-hmm.
and then zoom in with the actual zooming.
Yeah,
that way we
idea.
Could see the actual, or hit 1:1 or something like that. And then there you go.
Right.
Okay, so the data comes in.
Let's see if I can move this around. There we go. There we go. So the data comes in from the top.
I see.
Let me show you what that data looks like.
All right.
And so let me right click here and let's go to visualize. So this is just...
It's a really cool tool.
Yeah. So this is what you're really looking at. You have... There's a lot of other columns. You can see I can scroll down here and look at other columns. And what we're trying to do a prediction on is, based upon all of this information, will these people make less than 50,000 or more than 50,000?
So this is those kinds of things you hear about in the news all the time.
That's
where
right.
someone's pouring through it. Now, how were they doing this 20 years ago? Were they doing machine learning?
Probably, but it was probably a lot more tedious because you had to go through and someone had to look at every single one of them
mm-hmm.
and figure them into. I don't know how they did
but,
it.
But, you know, like now some of these talking heads on the news could potentially have gotten their data from some government functionary who is sitting in front of Power BI or whatever.
Correct.
And taking the Rubik's Cube of the data and going, yeah, it looks like it feels right.
Exactly. All it is it's number crunching,
okay.
if you think about it. And so in this example, just like we're going to play tennis or not, this is... Does someone make less than 50,000 or more than 50,000? And what we want to do is we want to build a model that will predict, given certain things, will this person make more or less than $50,000?
Okay.
So remember, the first part was we have to get our data. This was already built in. When you're using Azure Machine Learning, you can pull data in from pretty much anywhere. So for example, if I drop a reader in there, you'll notice the areas where you can actually bring data in from.
I see.
Do you see that?
Literally, basically anywhere.
So you can have a CSV on an HTTP endpoint, and that's kosher.
And does Azure machine, does machine learning always mean that it has to be terabytes of data?
No, it can be whatever. It can be whatever you want. Like that example that I showed you, the Canonical Tennis data set, is just to show you how it works. But if mm-hmm. you have just a little bit of amount, put it in.
So if someone's watching this and they're still thinking, well, I don't have a PhD, mm-hmm. I still don't quite get this. What kinds of problems do they probably have at their company that they really need to be looking at machine learning about?
That's a really good question. And the problem is it depends. So let's say, for example, you're a web hosting company and you want to make sure someone's not hacking into your system.
Sure.
So what you do is you have a lot of logs and you'll put that into the system and then you'll do some cleaning. Because one of the things that's going on here, let me remove this, is you might have some institutional knowledge of the data. Mm-hmm. So for example, you might think, hey, you know, this number right here, like for example, work class, you can see over here is not really well distributed. And you might think, this is really not going to have a really good say on whether or not someone makes less than or equal to 50,000 or greater than 50,000. You can see that these are all private, and so it might not be distributed. So I'm going to take that column out. Notice that it's very hard for me to give a specific answer because it depends on where you're working.
Well, you're saying your gut says.
Yeah.
And then that could ruin the data. That could be a butterfly that flaps its wings and then screws up your data set downstream.
It could ruin it for the model, for prediction. Absolutely. And the reason why this is called data science is because the scientific process is not, like when someone says they have this down to a science, it doesn't mean we know this really well. It means I guess, I check, I try again.
Right, right.
And that's what this is. It's a lot of like feeling it out.
Assert your assumptions.
So for example, let's just say you're a car manufacturer and you want to be able to predict if a certain car part is going to fail. Mm-hmm. Right? And so when the car manufacturer comes in for servicing, they look at a specific car part, they have all this data about this car part and when it's failed, you can build a model to predict whether the car part will fail. Right? And it just depends on where you are. If you're in a school and you want to be able to predict whether or not someone's going to get better than a C or not as good as a C, you have all this data on all the students that got C's and better. You feed that into the model and you do prediction like that. You see, so it depends really on where you are.
Okay. So what does the model look like?
I'll show you. So once we've done the cleaning, right, we've done some cleaning, we've projected out some data, this is where you train the model, right? And the model that you can train is a number of algorithms. The one, this is called two-class average perceptron, or you can make a decision tree. But once you train the model, you can actually score it to see how well it's doing.
Are there like a whole class of models to pick from?
There's a whole bunch of them. If you go to...
And someone, I assume, would learn what these mean.
Absolutely. So let's see. Here we go. So for example, if we're doing classification, here are all the, for example, neural networks are the ones that people hear about a lot. Neural networks, so on and so forth. But once you train the model, this is the cool part, because I want to make sure this is compact. You can actually create something called a web service input, mm-hmm. so that next time you have, because you've built this model with all of this data, mm-hmm. now you want to feed it another row.
You make the whole thing a function.
Yeah. Now you feed it another row, and it goes through this whole process, and then at the end it says, yeah, someone's trying to hack you, or no, someone's not trying to hack you. And here is the beautiful part. Once you hit publish web service, then when you go to the actual web service area, you can see right here that it shows you that you can test it, right?
Oh, wait a second. Did it actually make an Excel workbook that was an app that front ends this thing?
It's not a work. It's more like an API call.
No, but this here.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
It made a front end call.
Yeah,
web
this,
server,
this is new.
Web
I haven't seen this
call.
Yet. This is
let's,
new.
Let's look at that real quick. So this is interesting. So it's programmatic. Right? This is all about Lego pieces, mm-hmm. right? You've got this thing that can be reused amongst other models. It can be called as a web service. It looks like they've got a auto-generated Excel sheet that's mm-hmm. going to let you do that. You've got an automated tester here.
That's right, and there's
as
even
well.
More.
Batch execution. Yeah, see, look, it contains your Azure API key. So
there you go.
So yeah, there you go. And then that has enter your input values in the parameters section.
Let's go here.
Look at this. Hang on, let's chew in. Adult input classification. It's got the date.
That's right. Oh, there we go.
It's thinking. Excel's thinking.
It's probably what it's doing. It's going to put the columns here.
Look
right?
at that. And
then it'll
see?
Predict. Right? This is new. But the other thing is, say you don't want to use Excel.
Yeah.
The even better thing is, boy, it sure would be great if we could like write some code on it. And so as I go down in the dashboard for this, and I scroll, let's go to
There's
request
test
response.
There. Yeah.
Notice that as you go down.
Oh, wow, it's an OData API.
It gives you exactly like everything down to the code that you would write with the appropriate values.
Wow, everything's reusable.
That's right. So there's also a facility. Say you make a really good model and you want someone else to use it, mm-hmm. you can actually sell your model in the Azure sort of, because there's a way to sell models.
Right, so there's an ML, machine learning marketplace?
Yeah, where you can build a model and sell access to it.
That's cool.
And so now notice that we've gone through this thing that's fairly nebulous into we have a way to predict stuff, mm-hmm. and we have a way to call the actual models externally, either via Excel, which is pretty cool, which I just found out.
Yeah, yeah.
And also through code.
That's hot. Okay. Are there books that we should read? I think that there's the Azure machine learning, but then there's generally machine learning as a concept, because I think that someone should be watching this and going, wow, we could be analyzing how people use our shopping cart.
Correct.
How people, because you use the example of hacking, but it could be behaviors.
That's right.
It could be IoT data.
Anything.
You know, you've got, and then we've had other episodes of Azure Friday where people have talked about analytics and streaming, and it, these are all things that can be plugged in.
Absolutely. So now, instead of having, like Fred, like looking over Excel spreadsheets, you can have the computer at night building very powerful predictive models to predict almost pretty much anything. And so once you know that you start with data, you clean it up, you build a model, and then you do prediction, Azure ML becomes a very powerful thing to do it with, because it's just there. And like, I write a machine learning, open source machine learning framework. The problem is you're constrained by your CPU and your RAM. Here,
there's no constraints.
No. And it's pretty amazing that you can do that.
Very cool. A very nice Machine Learning 101 with Seth Juarez here on Azure Friday.